الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده ولا أمة بعد أمته، ولا كتاب بعد كتابه، ولا شريعة بعد شريعته. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لكل أمة أمين، وأمين هذه الأمة أبو عبيدة ابن جراح رضي الله تعالى عنه، أو كما قال. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected elders and brothers, the intention today is to speak about a Sahabi, and that Sahabi is Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, and take lessons from his Mubarak life. However, before we go that route, today from the Gregorian calendar's point of view is Friday the 13th. Now, anyone who does reading on Western thought and Western civilization knows that they regard 13 as an unlucky number. They regard 13 as an unlucky number. That is why in many hotels and offices and buildings in the Western world, you find that there is no 13th floor, 12th and then the 14th. And if that 13 falls on a Friday, they regard it to be very, very bad luck. One of the reasons, amongst other reasons, is that they say that there were 13 disciples in the Last Supper. So the word 13 with Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, we do not necessarily believe in that. And according to them, it was a Friday. So the Friday the 13th is regarded to be a very bad luck number. And to this extent that in a survey that was done in the 1990s in America, they say that this particular belief caused the American economy $1 billion in losses. Because people don't go out for work, people don't travel, because it is something regarded to be bad luck. Now, one would have thought that as we go into a new civilization, post-modern age, an age of enlightenment, then such superstitions should not exist. The Encyclopedia Britannica makes mention, superstitions should recede in the face and before education. That when you have education, you shouldn't have superstitions. But yet, in the Western world today, it is, despite their claim towards enlightenment and education, it's a very paganish type of culture. And in there is a lot of superstition. That is why you see the flourishing of astrologers. There is not a major newspaper that doesn't have astrology. There is palm readers, fortune tellers, tarot card readers. They are in proliferation in Western world, and even today you will find in South Africa also. And this superstition is a direct result of lack of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We as Muslims, we don't believe in this. Although the pagan Arab society was a very, very superstitious society. And even some our Indians, taking from aspects of Hinduism, also sometimes have unnecessary superstition. Up till now, you will hear our old woman saying that don't get married in Safar. It is an unlucky month. Got nothing to do with Islam, but based on superstition. Islam does not believe in such superstitions. We've got to keep in mind, and I just thought that Friday the 13th, before I make mention of the real reason what I'm going to speak on, let me just make mention of it, because it's a Friday and the 13th, and they have this particular belief. You know, there is this hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam: Man ata kahinan aw arrafan fasaddaqahu bima yaqul faqad kafara bima unzila ala Muhammad aw kama qala alayhi salatu wa sallam. Whoever goes to a fortune teller or reads an astrology and he believes in that, then he has denied Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jo kahin ke paas gaya, jo haath یو یا اپنے ہاتھ کو ڈکا کر آگے کے بتانے والے جو لوگ ہوتے ہیں ان کے پاس گیا اور ان کی تصدیق کی تو انہوں نے اللہ اور رسول صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی تکفیر کی. Whoever goes to a fortune teller and he accepts what he says, he has denied Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is another superstition that happens, that in a Western world they say, touch wood to gain good luck, or cross your fingers to ward off evil, or to ward off bad luck. Up till now it is there. When a person is in cricketing terms and is on the 111, the Nelson, they say, cross your fingers so he doesn't get out at 111. You and I, when we want to have good luck, we read wazifa. We say, inshallah. When we want to ward off evil, we leave our home reading Ayatul Kursi and saying, Bismillah, tawakkaltu ala Allah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That is how we ward off evil. We don't ward off evil we don't get good luck by knocking wood or crossing our fingers. So this superstition stems from lack of belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I thought I will make mention of that before we go on to the main aspect of the talk, which was I would like to speak about Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Now Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is an amazing sahabi. A sahabi about whom Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given glad tidings of Jannah. And he had many, many great qualities. He accepted Islam in the very beginning stages of Islam. And all the major trials that people face in the beginning stages of Islam, Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu faced all those trials. And he came through that test with flying colors. In the beginning stages of Islam, one of the aspects was, sometimes a person had iman, his own family members didn't have iman. So Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah's father was not a Muslim. In the battle of Badr, his father came looking for his son, to confront the son. So while Abu Ubaidah was trying to lead and stay away from him, the father was pursuing him. Until he came in front of Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, who had no alternative but to confront his father. Baab, bete ki darmiyan talwar chali. Iman kufar par ghalib a gaya. Aur baab, bete ke haath qatal ho gaya. Taki ye batane ke liye Islam sabse bada rishta hai. That when he confronted his father in the battle of Badr, Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah killed his father. To show that Islam is the greatest relationship. Yes, we have relationship that we are supposed to respect our relatives, our community. But the greatest rishta, the greatest relationship is on the basis of iman in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَا تَجِدُ قَوْمَي يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم. You will not find people who believe in Allah and His Rasul that they would love. The word here is would, an extreme form of relationship and love. They will not love those who despise Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if such people are their own family members and their own mothers and their own fathers and their own children. So there's one remarkable aspect that we learn from the life of Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. When the time came, he killed his own father to make mention of this relationship of Islam. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. In the battle of Uhud, an amazing thing happened. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got wounded. So two shields or two discs from the armor of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam penetrated the cheeks of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Ubaidah tried to remove those cheeks so that doesn't cause more harm to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He used his hand, it couldn't come right. So he used his teeth to take out those discs. And in the process, two of his front teeth broke off in taking out the discs from the Mubarak cheeks of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanallah, you would have thought that someone whose two front teeth have been taken away, it would have an impact upon his beauty, his appearance, his attractiveness. Sahaba say that far from it, in fact, after this, Abu Ubaidah looked even more handsome. Subhanallah. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki do halqe rukhsar mubarak mein ghus gaya Uhud mein. To unko nikalne ke liye, Abu Ubaidah Jarrah radhiyallahu ta'ala anhu, unke aage ke do daan gir gaye. Daan gir jane se, چہرے کی خوش نمائی میں فرق آ جانا چاہیے تھا. لیکن ان کے حسن میں کمی کے بجائے اضافہ ہوا, سبحان اللہ, اور حسن پیدا ہوا. سو دس واز ابو عبیدہ ابن جراح ان دا فور فرنٹ آف مینی ایسپیکٹس وتھ ریگارڈ ٹو ان دا ٹائم آف نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. دا کفار آف نجران, دا عیسائی آف نجران, دا کرسچن آف نجران ہیڈ a difficulty among themselves. They had an argument and dispute. So they sent Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a letter saying that, Ya Rasulullah, send someone to mediate in our disputes. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah saying, لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَمِينٍ. Each and every ummati has a trustee, a person known for his trustworthiness. And the person in this ummat is Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. I will make mention of this incident and also this hadith on the next day also as we go along. What is amazing is that in the past, because of the Muslims' honesty and integrity, people used to come to resolve their disputes by Muslims. And today Muslims go to someone else to go resolve their disputes. How unfortunate are we? That in the past, the Isai of Najran, the Christians of Najran, wrote to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to send someone to resolve their disputes. Today we go to the courts to resolve our disputes. How sad. پہلے زمانے میں لوگ اپنے جھگڑوں کے سلجھانے کے لیے اور اس کو سلجھانے کے لیے صلح کرنے کے لیے مسلمانوں کے پاس آتے تھے, اور آج جو ہے نا مسلمان غیروں کے پاس جاتے ہیں. یہ کتنی بدنصیبی کی بات ہے. سو دس واز ابو عبیدہ ابن جراح. نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سید لکل امت امین و امین و حاد الما ابو عبیدہ ابن جراح. نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سینڈ ہم ٹو بحرین ونس, اینڈ نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم سینڈ ہم ٹو بحرین اینڈ ہی کیم بیک وتھ لاٹ آف well from Bahrain. So when Abu Ubaidah came back, the next day many people from the outskirts of Medina came to Masjid Nabawi because they heard that Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah came with a lot of wealth. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I see today in Fajr there are more people than usual. It seems that the news that Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah has come back has reached you. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said an amazing thing. He said, I don't fear poverty for this ummah. He said, I will give you the wealth. And maybe Allah will give you barakah, but I don't fear poverty. But I fear that Allah will give you a lot of wealth. And because of wealth, you would become destroyed the way the people of the past were destroyed because of wealth. A greater fitna for this ummah than poverty is wealth. In the words of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Fakr ke bajaye, maal ki farawani, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ne bataya, ye jo hai na ummat ke liye, ziyada sangeen hai aur ziyada fitna ka baais hai. What an amazing thing Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. It is the same Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. After Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, when the Ansar and the Muhajirin gathered in Saqifah Bani Sa'idah, and they were speaking about who must be the Khalifa after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when the Ansar said, one Khalifa from us, one Khalifa from the Muhajirin, and Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah got up, and he said, no, al-immatu min Quraysh. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the leader must be from Quraysh. And therefore, he must be from the Quraysh. So when he said this, Umar got up and said, Abu Bakr got up and said, O Abu Ubaidah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called you the trustee of this ummat. I think you must become the Khalifa. And Abu Ubaidah said, no, Abu Bakr, in the time of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made you the Imam of the Masjid. He made you the Imam of Salat. When Salat, which is the most important thing in our deen, he made you the Imam, so then it is more appropriate that you become our Imam in worldly affairs. And Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah was among the first people to pledge allegiance and accept the Khilafat of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. This had far-reaching consequences for the future of the Muslims. And who was the person who led this particular aspect? Once again, Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala. Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, as I said, was known for this one quality of being trustworthy. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and I will repeat this hadith, لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ أَمِينٌ وَأَمِينُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. Each and every ummati has a trustee, someone who is known for his trustworthiness. And in this ummat, this person is Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. اور آج کل جو ہے نا وہ امانت داری کی فقدان ہے. We don't have trustworthiness. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, Anas radiallahu anhu ka hadith hai, qallama khatabana Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam illa qal, la imana liman la amanata lah. Very seldom Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us a talk in which he did not say There is no iman in a person when he is not trustworthy. Jiske paas amanatdari na ho, wo musliman kehlane ke haq nahi rakhta. He is not worthy of being called a Muslim and he is not trustworthy. And brothers, amanatdari is a very great quality. It is not only, I gave you something, when I asked you, you must give it back to me. Ye amanatdari ke ek kisam hai. It's only one portion of amanatdari. Our whole life is amanatdari. Our whole life is trust. The wife is a trust at the hands of the husband. The children are a trust at the hands of the father who are supposed to give them good akhlaq and conduct and deen knowledge. Our deen is a trust. Allah gave deen to us as a trust. Allah says in the Quran, Inna aradna al-amanata ala samawati wal-ard. Allah gave us amanat to comply with the commands of Allah to the heavens and earth. فَأَبَيْنَ أَن يَحْمِلْنَهَا. Unhone inkar kiya. Unhone usko inkar kiya. Unhone kaha is amanat ko hum kabool nahi karte. Kaun si amanat? Allah Ta'ala ki itaat ki amanat. To Allah Ta'ala ne kaha ke وَأَشْفَقْنَ مِنَا وَحَمَدَ الْإِنسَانِ. Insan ne usko utaya. Insan ne is amanat ko utaya ki hum Allah Ta'ala ki taabidari mein zindagi guzarenge. We will follow Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Our whole life is a trust. The students are a trust at the hands of the ustad. You know, when we have any responsibility, it's a trust upon us to fulfill that responsibility. The employers have a trust towards the employee. The employee have a trust towards the employers. Our whole life is one of amanatdari. And Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Jiske paas amanatdari na ho, to unka iman mukammal nahi hai." If a person is not trustworthy, his iman is not complete and perfected. And who was the first person who was known for this quality? Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. One amazing hadith. What an amazing hadith. Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if I wanted to, I could take out a fault in every sahabi's character. Doesn't mean they were bad people. They were great people, but they were human beings who had normal shortcomings. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if I wanted to, I could take out a fault in every sahabi's character. Except the character of Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. I look at his character, I find no faults. What a remarkable human being. To say something that even Abu Bakr and Umar were great, and of course more greater than Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if I wanted to, I could have picked up one flaw in their character. But Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah, in his character, I find no flaw. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, made him the governor of Sham. Made him the governor of Syria. And at his hands the Roman Empire fell. That Roman Empire that people felt that it would never fall. It fell at the hand of Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. Just one or two quick waqiyas and let us conclude. You know, once he was the governor of Hims. And when Hims is in Syria, present day Syria, make dua that Allah Ta'ala make things easy for the Muslims of Syria. Allah Ta'ala grant them refuge from persecution and oppression. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala make it easy for him, for them inshallah. Nevertheless, when in Hims, when Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu vacated Hims, when he vacated Hims, because of some reason, the Muslims wanted to get to another place. So at that particular time, nevertheless, when Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah left Hims, and he told the Christians, you had given us texts. Because we can no more protect you, I'm giving you the texts back. The Christians, when the Muslims left, subhanallah, listen to this brothers, they stood on the street of Hims and they cried. And they told Abu Ubaidah, please come back. Please come back. Although the Roman, the Byzantines are supposed to be Christians like us, but you gave us more mercy, kindness and justice than our fellow co-religionists. He said, you are going and you gave your texts back. When you, please come back. And they made dua for the Muslims. And Allah grant victory to the Muslims over the co-religionists. Subhanallah, that was once upon a time the power and the justice of the Muslims. May Allah Ta'ala bring it back, inshallah. Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah remained the governor of Sham. And of course, one time there was a ta'un, there was a plague that hit in Sham and in Syria. So, when Umar came to hear about it, Umar wrote Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. But before that, when Umar went to Syria, Umar told Abu Ubaidah, oh, Abu Ubaidah, I want to come see where you live. Because Umar used to test his governors. Are they not involved in corruption or something? So he went to his house. And then he saw the house of Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. He saw there was nothing in there. Although they were fighting the Roman civilization, they gained victory. Allah had granted a lot of wealth to the Muslims at that time. And then Umar, when he saw his simple way of living, Umar said, "Oh Ubaidah, the world has changed many people besides you. Dunya ne hum sabko badal diya, magar aapko badal nahi sake. Dunya changed many people, but Ubaidah, I couldn't change you." So when the plague came, Umar wrote a letter to Abu Ubaidah. "Oh Abu Ubaidah, I need you for some work. Come immediately to Medina." So when Abu Ubaidah read the letter, he started crying. And he said, "Umar wants to keep a person alive who doesn't want to remain in this world." He knew why Umar wrote the letter. He said, "Umar wanted to protect me from this plague and this epidemic that has reached and has hit the city." So he said, "Umar wants." Umar said, "Come immediately here, Abu Ubaidah." And Ubaidah said that Umar wants to keep a person alive who doesn't want to stay in this world. Then he wrote back to Umar and said, "Oh Umar, I can't leave my people. I'm the Amir. Today many a times the Amir is the first person to run away." He said, Tunisia, you saw, before everybody happens, he runs away. Everywhere this happens. Here was an example of leadership. Although the Khalifa called him, he had a legitimate excuse to go. But he said, "Oh, Umar, I can't leave this." So Umar, when he read the letter, he started crying. So Umar wrote him another letter. "Oh Abu Ubaidah, I'm worried about the plague. What I advise you is that people are staying on a surface, on the ground. To avoid the plague, go up on the mountains. The environment there is more clean. Inshallah, you will protect yourself from the plague." So Abu Ubaidah got this letter when he already was involved in this plague. He and his family were already involved in this plague. So he told the people while reading this letter of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, "Oh people, the Khalifa had said that we must go on higher ground. Now today, the Qabr of Abu Ubaidah, he passed away in this plague. The Qabr of Abu Ubaidah is in Jordan. And this particular place where many Muslims passed away, some Sahaba, they say up to 20,000 Sahaba passed away, is also on the border of Jordan in Israel. What is amazing is, when you go to Jordan, they take you to one Qabristan and say, this is the Qabristan where most of the Sahaba are buried. When you go to Israel, the guides there take you and say, this is the place where most of the Sahaba who died in the plague are buried. Be as it may, it is so neighboring. In that particular region, 20,000 Sahaba lost their life. And one of them was Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. Such a remarkable person. The trustee of this ummah. When Umar was dying, someone said, "Oh Umar, nominate a Khalifa after you." So what a remarkable thing he said. He said, "If Abu Ubaidah was alive, with confidence I would have made Abu Ubaidah my Khalifa. And if Allah would have asked me on the Day of Judgment, Oh Umar, why did you appoint Abu Ubaidah? I would have told Allah, Oh Allah, your Nabi said, he's a trustee of this ummah. He's Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. I had nominated him as my Khalifa, but he passed away before that." So what a remarkable human being. So let us take lessons from his life. And the one lesson that we can take, my dear respected brothers, is to bring amanat dari in our life, to bring trustworthiness in our life. It is so sad that when we have lessons of this nature, where we have people who are known for this remarkable attribute, whom we regard as people who are our saviors, who are our leaders, why can't we follow them? May Allah give you the tawfiq of understanding and making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.